There was a position group that I thought was settled, but now I'm not so sure, and I think that's a good thing.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, so we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. There's a battle at defensive tackle, man. I thought this thing was settled pretty early, but based off of how spring played out, and then you saw the rotations at A-Day, this thing's going to go into the fall, and I think that's an awesome thing. We're going to break that down. We're going to talk about the impact of some of the injured guys when they return. How does that shake up things? And then Auburn adds a three-point specialist that I am very, very excited for on the Hoops team. We're going to break down that as well. But let's jump right into it. Look, last year you lose some guys on the defensive line. You lose Malik Blockton to the transfer portal. So everything was going to be about how do you – that defensive line was good, man. That defensive line last year, you're talking top 10 run defense in the country. It's just super solid. How are you able to replace that production? Okay, and primarily we're talking about defensive tackle, not the nose, because you got Dallas Walker back there, St. Ferrier. Like, that rotation seems pretty clear. It's the defensive tackle position – right beside them, where it was kind of up in the air, like, how do we replace the production that we got last year from, you know, Bobby Jamison Travis, Malik Blockton, all those guys. All right, so enter Cody Sigler, okay? You get Cody Sigler out of the portal, and you think that he's going to be your clear-cut starter, and he may still be. And beginning of spring, the talk around him, everything about him was, we nailed this one. This guy is him. He's unblockable. He's a hard worker. Like, everything about him at the beginning of spring was red hot. Now, I am not saying by any means that his play declined or that was jumping the gun early. Not saying any of that. It just got quiet. I think you guys will understand that. Like, the reports around him sort of tapered off. And it's not like somebody jumped in and overtook him as far as the talk or the chatter around that particular position. It was just a little quiet. And then you fast forward to the A-Day game, and he's almost – primarily running with that second group. So I think there were occasions when he jumped in with the ones, but a lot of times he was running with that second group. Had a really good game. It's not like he had a bad game or he was super overshadowed. I mean, he had four tackles, one sack, and, you know, tackle for loss was that sack. So, again, the sack was the was it a two-hand touch? Was it a one-hand touch? Who knows? Regardless, that was the conversation about Cody Sigler. Super, super high, super, super quiet. So, okay, is this thing up in the air? Because you look out there to start the game, and Malik Autry is starting the game at defensive tackle. You know, that's a guy that – they obviously invested and want to pour a lot into. They wanted to bring him back from last year's team. He was part of those Durkin guys, those recruiting classes that Durkin was a part of going into his second season. Man, I tell you what, when you look at him, and he mentioned this in some of the post-practice interviews, he came in at like 345, almost 350 pounds, and he's tightened it up to about 315, 320. moves really good. He's got NFL size potential, maybe the most across that interior defensive line. Like, he is physically got all the tools. I think he's got the athletic ability as well. And again, we bragged on him a little bit from a couple of practices, but it wasn't super, super loud around him. You look out there and he's starting in that starting group. So that's real interesting. So I'm taking notes on that. And then this is the one where I don't understand why we haven't talked about this, the, you know, really any all spring, is Darian Smith. So Malik Autry went with that first group the first time. And then each time after that, I think for the most part, like the next three times the ones went out there, Darian Smith went in at defensive tackle. And Darian Smith is so intriguing to me. This story, I would love to sit down and with a coach or with him and talk through Darian Smith. Okay, number one, when you think defensive tackle, what do you think? You think beef. You know, you're thinking 300-plus pounds or close to 300 pounds, you know, big, you know, wide, you know, eating up space and you know, just being so big, you just kind of push the line around. He's not that. He's 6'2", maybe 275. He's playing on the interior. And so you're probably thinking, man, that seems pretty rough. He's probably getting pushed around. No, he had a big game as well. He had one of the more impressive plays of the game when he kind of dove inside and tackled a running back in the backfield from the interior. He's so fast, and this is what I wonder about him, okay? Because he's 6'2", last year he played primarily, he played about 80-something snaps, and a little over half of them were played either over tackle or outside of the tackle. So he's playing defensive end last year for the most part. So what I wonder is, he's so fast and athletic, but he doesn't have the prototypical length that you would see from a defensive end. So what I wonder is he a real mismatch for, you know, your interior offensive lineman because of that speed and athleticism? Does he make life hard on them, particularly maybe in like a pass rushing set where his pass rushing skills and speed are more effective when you have, you know, those interior guys, which are not your 6'6", 320, super long arms that can get, you know, can get hands on him a lot easier and a lot further away than maybe an interior guy. It's very, very intriguing to see how that plays out and how he's going to be utilized, because he's kind of like a secret weapon's not the word, because it's not like it's a secret, but it's something you got in your back pocket whenever you get into those situations that you could probably create some havoc, you know, as far as pass rushing up the middle. But he was playing on running downs too. And that part, I mean, I want to see how that thing plays out. Regardless of who goes where, you got to feel so much better about that particular position than going into spring, because again, you're replacing a solid group, a solid defensive line, and you got Malik Autry, who's the rising sophomore, who's got the most NFL potential out of any of those guys. You got Cody Sigler, who, regardless of where he played on Saturday, I think they're still very happy with that pickup. And then you got Darian Smith, who I think is fast enough to play on the outside, who's just got this motor that goes like crazy, and he's a little bit more compact, and he can play on the inside, and it's going to be really hard for those offensive linemen, particularly those interior guys, on pass rushing sets to really get a hand on him. because he's so fast. So that's a fun group. That's a fun group. When you're trying to replace things and you're going into a season and you watch how things unfolded in spring, that's a fun group to watch for sure. So we'll see how that plays out. Who goes first? Like who ends up winning that starting job? And then situationally throughout a game, you got to rotate those guys. It's too much of a grind for one of those guys to play 60 to 70 plays. So I think you got three good ones, and all three of them are good at, you know, different things. So thought I knew, felt like it would be Cody Sigler and everybody else. But I think it's maybe going into the fall, it's still up for grabs. So it's good when everybody's playing well. It's not good when, like, you have a guy who you think is it, and maybe he is not performing as well, and nobody's really stepping up to grab it. I think all these guys can play. And that's what you want. That's what you want coming out of spring. So good stuff. We're going to talk about some guys that have been injured that I think really change things when they're back healthy and can make an impact. We'll talk about those in just a second. Before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika off of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans, locally owned and operated, where car care meets hospitality. I got to go see them, ready for just your regular maintenance, oil change, all that good stuff. But when I go, they're going to give me a full 360-degree inspection, absolutely free. And, hey, they're going to probably point out some stuff. Truck's got some miles on it. But they're going to be honest about it. And I can trust and know that they're not just trying to fleece me of everything, everything that I own in one visit. Auto Hospitality is the next big thing. They got a location in Alabaster as well, so show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then look, if you're going to do business anywhere, do business with Auburn people. Go to buyauburn.com. Be part of the family. Hey, if you're going to say you're part of the family and you love the Auburn family, then do business with Auburn people. We have over 20 businesses on there currently. We're adding new ones every single day. A lot of fun stuff on there and at a lot of different locations, and we want to keep it rolling. So if you got a business, you want to list it, check it out. If you're looking for Auburn people to do business with, you can check it out as well. So check it out, buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. All right, there are several guys that just basically missed all of spring or missed large portions of spring that obviously are going to shake things up, maybe not be the right would shake things up be the right word? Probably not, because that means that it would be something unexpected. They're gonna change things. They're gonna make the rooms better when they get back. Okay. And you gotta start with Stanton Ramil, who you pretty much believe is gonna be your left tackle when he comes back. I think he probably could have practiced/played about midway through spring. I think he probably could have gone more contact then, but why? You know, why do that? Let's just play it safe. Let's work on his body. Let's get him back in shape. Don't risk anything, because I think they believe he can be really good. And does him coming back change any of the rotations? Again, feels like center, feels like left guard, pretty locked in. I still think, you know, I think Cole Skinner is obviously maybe the leader in the clubhouse at right guard, you know, but does Stanton coming in, does that make it to where you want to move Ty Buster inside? Or does it, I don't know. I don't know if it shakes up a ton, but I think he's probably your better option at one of the tackle spots. Probably left tackle. But you didn't get to see that. Thought the offensive line, for the most part, looked pretty good Saturday. Struggled at times in situations where I think most offensive lines struggle. You know, those obvious passing downs, second long, third and long. But does Stanton give you just a half a second longer? Just because of his experience, his abilities, we'll see. But obviously, him being back shakes up a ton of things. I think Christian Neptune's another one. He didn't miss the whole spring, but I think pretty much after that very, very first scrimmage, I don't exactly know what happened. He was back there. I believe he was the main punt guy, punt return guy to start off with, had his shoulder procedure. Him being out let some guys blossom, Deshaun Spencer being, you know, primarily one of those. But he is up there. He was up there as far as those slot receivers go. Like, I mean, Chaz is obviously your number one. And for a time, it looked like Christian Neptune was your number two. And then whoever after that. So him coming back just gives you another weapon. And I don't know that there's necessarily anything that he does incredibly better than everybody else. To me, he's a little bit more built, so he's a little bit more stocky as a smaller wide receiver. So can he be a little bit more physical? Can you do different things with him, maybe out of the backfield? I don't know. I just know that he was up towards the front of the line before he was out. So obviously when he comes back, that's going to shake a few things up. In a good way. So we'll see what happens there. DeMarcus Riddick is one. We talk about how good this linebacker room is, and he ain't played a snap this spring. That's the most fun thing of all. Not that he didn't take a snap, but it's like that guy's going to come back. And he is super athletic. Like he is – he may have a gear that none of those other guys have. Last year, I think at times he struggled playing like an actual linebacker role and not like a Swiss Army knife role. So can they carve out – can DJ maybe craft something back around some of the things that he does really well and raise everybody's game? So fun. It's so fun. That group is so good, man. The emergence of Bryce Diaz, like – obviously, Xavier Atkins coming back. Elijah Melendez is a stud. Like, we're talking about all these guys, and this other guy that's freakishly athletic didn't even play this spring. Like, obviously, that's going to be a factor when he comes back. So, that'll be really, really, really fun to watch. So, DeMarcus Riddick is one, man. I think he got to find him a place. He can just make plays. Champ Anthony. We talk about how good that defensive back room, particularly at safety, is. Champ Anthony hadn't played all spring. He finally got back into practice. What was it? I think it was like the second to last practice of the spring where he was actually going out and doing contact drills. He played so good 2 years ago before his injury. And then, you know, he got injured so early last year that we haven't even really had a chance to see how good he can be. But having that veteran presence, at worst, it's just going to make everybody compete harder. It's going to make everybody better from him being out there. As far as like what that yields on the field, we'll have to see because that's a really talented group. But yeah, that's another one. That as fun as that group is, he hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced at all spring hardly. So he's back now, and I think he's not going to go down without a fight either. So good stuff. Like, so we're thinking about all these different position groups, and there's more that we could go through, but those four are primarily the ones that I think have a chance to shake things up the most. I mean, Chris Murray's one too that I think, from a pass rush perspective, is going to factor in immediately if he does all the things he's supposed to do in the offseason. So that one is obviously another one, fun one to watch. Let's shift gears really quick. Let's hit hoops before we get out of here. Auburn adds, you know, last year I felt like our three-point shooting was pretty rough. Outside of Kevin Overton, There was really nobody, I think, that you could just depend on to knock down a shot at anywhere on the court. Honestly, if you're like me, a lot of times, unless it was Overton shooting, all of us were like, no, 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 no. And if it went in, you know, great. But for the most part, we were like, please, nobody shoot it except for Overton. So you go out and you add Adam Olson from South Alabama, 6'8", 225, listed as a forward. Not sure if he's going to play the three or the four here, probably more three than anything. Scored 16-4 last year. And I know a lot of times when you see some, when you hear three-point percentage, you're like me. You're like, okay, well, how many threes did he actually shoot? You know, is it like, you know, is he a, was he like 4 of 9 on the year and he's just got that high percentage, or what does it look like? No. This guy hit 102 threes last year. So he had almost the exact same, three pointers attempted per game than Bryce Brown did in that year where obviously they went on the Final Four run. So that's his game. His game is getting open and hitting threes and knocking them down. And he does it at 6'8". So his defensive stats aren't like just mind-numbing, even though he's so tall. Like, he doesn't necessarily, you know, have a lot of blocks. He did average a steal per game, which is good. But he, you know, he helps you on the boards. 4 rebounds a game is pretty dang good. I'm excited. I wanted this guy the whole time. I wanted this guy as soon as I saw him going to the portal. I was actually worried about this guy in the NIT, but he opted out because he went into the transfer portal. So I was like, man, they got a 6'8 dude that can knock it dead from three. That's not good considering we don't defend the three very well. So along with all of the other guys that have been added, you've had a lot of action really, really quickly. Still got a few pieces left, and there's a pile of different options that are different directions that they could go. But fired up about Adam Olson. I love tall dudes, and I love tall dudes that can shoot threes. Give me all of them. Guys, I really appreciate y'all listening. Don't forget to check out buyauburn.com. And also don't forget, if you need a good realtor in the Auburn, Opelika area, to hit me up, KyleRush@KW.com. Talk to a few folks at the tailgate that listen that may have some real estate needs here in the near future. I'd love to help you guys out too. So appreciate you listening. Like, subscribe, do all that stuff. Leave a comment. Let me know if I'm dumb. If you don't agree with anything, let's fight. Let's just roll our sleeves up and fight in the comments. I'm joking. I do respond to most every single one. So if you got any questions, drop them in there, and we'll try to do our best to answer them. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.